the first trip and leave your stuff behind too, amen. You listen carefully, I'll tell you how that'll happen. But as we look, you got 51 verses, 1,047 words, all at a 5.6 grade level for this chapter. Yet Bible commentators and scholars will stumble all over this stuff. The most of them you read are either amillennial or postmillennial. They don't believe there's a rapture, and they think they're ushering in the kingdom and all this other garbage. But he's going to tell you exactly what happens. As we looked last week at verses 1 through 13 there and saw all that, we pick up verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no nor ever shall be. And except those days be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake. And it says those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, here is Christ, or lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I've told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not. For says go not for, excuse me. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even to the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there shall the eagles be gathered together. And as we look at this passage of scripture together, we see all these things that he's saying about that time. And we'll show you today the sights of the great tribulation, some things that will be sights during that time. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come to you and we pray, God, that you'll help us to understand the word of God according to Psalm 119, verse 18. Lord, that you'd open our eyes that we'd understand your precious book. Help me to preach today according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And we pray, God, you'll do this to all your glory and praise for us. In Jesus' name we pray and for our sake. Amen. As we look at the sights of the great tribulation, we're looking at what's going to happen during that time, not right before the rapture or all this other stuff. This is stuff he's speaking to Jews about that will be here during that time. And the first sight we see is the saints during the tribulation. If you'll start at verse 14, it says, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations." He says, "Then shall the end come." Now, I heard a while back this guy make this statement that when they broadcast a certain evangelist worldwide, that fulfilled verse 14. I got news for anybody that said that and anybody that's going to say that. This hadn't happened yet.
Right.
It won't happen this side of the rapture. It's going to happen when the Lord, listen to this, when the Lord raptures his church, then this is going to happen. So I got a question for you. During this thing right here, just simply, who preached the gospel after all the church was taken out? Somebody had to.
Yep.
And looking at that statement, you're as confused as I was looking at it the first time thinking about this. Somebody had to preach so that 144,000 Jews get saved. You know who that was? You got any idea? Let me tell you. Somebody on this side of the rapture, that either digital media, their CDs, cassette tapes, records, and isn't that something, the records are making their comeback now, and there's all these preaching things on them? They got it from someplace like that. And they got, listen, if you look over at Revelation chapter 7, here's the people we're talking about. Revelation chapter 7, if you look at verse 3 here, it says, these angels are coming, it says in verse 3, saying, "Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads." Who are them servants? Well, he names out exactly who they are. He said in verse 4, and it shall be the Jehovah's Witness who have worried you to death knocking on your door. That's what they read when they see that. Can you believe somebody would dare try to correct God's book like that? Let's look at it. Heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Everybody who tries to steal Israel's blessings and say they're Israel is out of line with the Word of God, and they all do it. All cults do it. All denominations do it. They think they're building a kingdom. That's why you get care packages, cooperatives, and all this other stuff. They think they're going to fulfill the role of the kingdom and advance the kingdom of God till Jesus comes for his millennial reign without any rapture or second coming. Where'd they get that from? In case you hadn't heard, it all come from Rome. All roads lead back to Rome. And for every Protestant denomination there is, they all head back to Rome. In other words, she's the great whore and all her daughters are coming home to roost, is what I'm telling you. It says 144,000 of all the children of Israel. Here's the complicated part. He says of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Go down to verse 6. Of the tribe of Asher were sealed 12,000. And he names every tribe and says 12,000 come from them. Now here's the part that's really confusing to us, but to God this is nothing. We do not know and have no idea which Jew fits in what tribe, because in AD 70, when they come in there and tore down the temple and ransacked the temple, the records were gone. Now, had we known which ones was the tribe of whoever, we'd worship a certain tribe. Had we had we looked at that in that light, we would have said, well, we don't know who's going to go, and we want to keep these people safe. But yet God said they're from this tribe and this tribe and this tribe. You know why? They might have destroyed the records here. He still got them. They think that, well, there's a certain group around here. Listen, there's off their rockers. They're worse than Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons combined. They think they are the lost tribe of Israel. Don't worry. Some of them's going to these public schools around here, and their parents want to be heard. Now, before you get and fall in with a cult like that, can I let you in on something? God never lost a tribe.
Right.
He names off all of them right there, and the British Israelites are not one of them. How dare somebody think they could change God's word like that? We see the saints during the tribulation, and we know that, look over at Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14. When do these preach? Well, they preach and they see converts during the tribulation time. But if you look in Revelation chapter 14, verse 6, it says, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. So now, listen, you are warned of God in Galatians chapter 1, verse 7, though we or an angel preach any other gospel unto you, let him be accursed. This one is going around preaching God's gospel. He's not preaching another gospel. Listen, the gospel of the kingdom is to fulfill the Davidic covenant. We describe it that way. There's the gospel of the grace of God, where in Romans chapter 1, verse 1, Paul talks about the gospel of God. Acts chapter 20, verse 24, talks about the grace of God, then the glory of God in 1 Timothy 1:11, the everlasting gospel we see here in Revelation 14, 6. And everlasting gospel meaning what? It has a beginning with no end. This angel's getting up preaching. They already have a beginning, but there is no end to what God's going to do. You got what Paul calls my gospel, and then you got what's called another gospel, which is the cults where they come, and they have a works-based plan of salvation. Now, I heard years ago that Baptists were the only ones that believed in eternal security, that everybody else had to work their way to heaven. They could lose it, get it, lose it, get it, lose it, get it. And I researched that to find out. And do you know that everybody that don't believe the King James Bible, that don't sit in a church like this, believes in eternal life for the believer once they get saved? They all believe they can, from the Roman Catholic all the way down to your local holiness church. Every one of them. Your sophisticated Presbyterian that says that he believes in everlasting redemption and perseverance of the saints. Perseverance of the saints means they keep working to stay saved. Isn't that something? And they fuss at these Armenians that believe they'd lose it. What a crazy world we live in. Let's back up and look at the words everlasting gospel again. I believe it's your Savior in John 3:16 said, everlasting, everlasting,
yeah.
Everlasting what? Life. How you get that from an everlasting gospel? A gospel that had a beginning in Jesus Christ and has no end. Same message. Here's a funny part right here. People talk about people can lose your salvation. If you read the book of Hebrews today, instead of taking a nap, you'll find the words that you come in there, in one part of it in particular, and I won't give it away, says that if you could lose it, you could never get it back. Yep. I know people's been saved. They think they've been saved and lost and saved and lost and saved. If you could lose it, you could never get it back. That's what God said. My opinion matters not, your opinion matters not, but what God says counts. And he said he's going to come in with Revelation chapter 14, verse 6, and preach an everlasting gospel unto them that dwell on the earth. Why is that? Well, I do believe we've had some people gone missing. Who is that? Them 144,000, they're going to die. God's going to send two more witnesses back in the middle of the tribulation. They're going to cut their heads off on live television broadcast around the world. If you go back to Matthew chapter 24, and listen, we see the saints during the tribulation. Everybody keeps telling me, they say, well, the church has got to suffer, therefore we're going to go through part of the tribulation. The church has suffered since its inception. You and I belong to a church, listen, that the whole time we've studied history and seen stuff in history, that church has been persecuted, burned alive at the stake, fed the lions, and everything else possible that's awful and I mean, like, we've been terrorized, we've been victimized, and we've been shot at and stoned and everything else. Yeah. And then we come to America, we're in the Laodicean era, and we think the church has got to suffer because of the way the church acts now. No, the Bible said the church acts like this now. Mm-hmm. We've been suffering this whole time. Yeah. They said, well, how do you think y'all suffered? Who do you think was it? Them Waldenses. We trace our heritage back. And them Lollards and all, I mean, all down the thing. Every missionary you read that has something godly about them, just about 9 out of 10 of them were Baptists. Yeah. And they suffered for their faith. Right. Yeah, that European nation and them communists. No, I'm talking about right here in this country. Right. If you study American history, you know the part that they leave out. And I mean, it was very clearly documented in the early part of this nation. They hated Baptists and tried to kill us off then. And we find out by studying that, we find out who is doing it. You'll never guess. The other denominations, them Protestants. In fact, they cussed the Baptist church and said, y'all are a bunch of Anabaptists. Why'd they call us that? Because they baptized their Presbyterian, Catholic, and Methodist converts, Episcopalian converts, and on down the line. They baptized them when they were young, just like the mama church taught them how to do. Yeah. And then when we led them to Christ and they got saved, they got fully baptized.
That's right.
Who was going after that? Well, the Presbyterians took a license, and the Methodists took a license, and the Catholics took a license, and all that, and the Lutherans took a license. Them other guys didn't. They say, take him to jail. Take that preacher to jail. Why? He's preaching without a license. Don't worry, this country's in such bad shape. If God don't intervene in the next 2 years and do something, you and I might be facing the same thing. That's all right. Half of you will sit at home like you don't even know what it was, and they come asking you questions. You're going to say, well, I hadn't been there in a while.
Uh-oh.
What do you believe? I'm a Methodist, man. I'm a Methodist.
Uh-oh.
Get your fingers crossed behind your back. God sees behind your back, friend.
That's right. That's right.
During this tribulation time, verse 15 down to verse 20, when you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. He says, then let them which be in Judea flee to the mountains. Let them which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let he that was in the field return take back his clothes. And woe to them that are with child and them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day. The sights of the tribulation show who preached the gospel. It shows when they preached when all this is going on. You imagine this. We get tired standing still and preaching. How about if you got to run and preach to people? They have to be Jewish. No American could make this. But I notice another sight we see. If you look down at verse 21... is we see the storm during the tribulation. Here's why it's called the tribulation. He says, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. If you look over at Jeremiah chapter 30 and mark this in your Bible for later, you're going to need this as sure as the world. Jeremiah chapter 30, if you look at verse 7. Jeremiah prophesying of what was coming, and he wasn't talking about when he lived, he was talking about a future thing here. He says this, "Alas, for that day is great, and that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it." What's the name of this time? It's the Great Tribulation, and it's the time of Jacob's trouble. Seems like funny to me that all these people keep saying, no, we've taken the Jews' place. They don't want to take his place right here. They don't want to honor this prophecy right here of what's going to happen. And listen, God is turning back to the Jew. He's called it the Jacob's trouble because there's where the problem's going to be. They're trying to run these Jews off planet Earth, and God's preserving them. It's crazy, I know, to think about, but those Jews that are alive at the moment the rapture happens, they're going to immediately be attacked. By whom? Who you got? I mean, we got Muslims parked over there in Jerusalem right now. We got all the nations around them are Muslim nations that hate their guts. You got Russians that hate them, Germans that hate them. You got the Chinese that hate them. And you got a bunch of Democrats in this country that call out and hate their guts right now. Yep. They're worried about one woman standing up there in Congress and saying we need to impeach Biden over what he's done. And they're saying we're going to censor her. We're going to silence you. We're taking you off the committees. You mean I get to make $175,000 for 2 to 4 years and not do nothing? Well, I wouldn't want to be on a committee anyway. They're putting on her what they want to be done back to them, probably. And here's the hard part to see. Every member of the so-called squad has anti-Semitic rhetoric when they give speeches. Joe Biden does, Kamala Harris does, and all the rest of them. They hate Israel. So it's not just the Muslims. It's not just the Chinese. It's not just the Russians. It's these people in America are doing the same thing. And might I remind you what happened to Germany when they started doing this? Publicly, they were acting like they were fixing the country. Privately, they were setting up concentration camps. Oh, they can't do that here. You mean to tell me they can't do it here? There's a Buddhist community over in Spartanburg where you can ride by and see the Buddhist temple. You go over to Rock Hill and you can't get in to see the Muslim temple because they got it partitioned off and you can't get in there. And they play that loud, god-awful music day and night. You know what that's designed for? To make the people around them go nuts. So far, they're doing a good job. Listen to me. The upper part of Michigan, half one of them cities have been taken over by them. Don't tell me they can't set up that stuff here. They've already done it. Yep. And listen, according to that law about religion, we can't really go in there and do anything. That, you know, they could. We're not a religious state and all that. We are a religious state, though. Yeah. We bow down to the God of money. Come on. That's our God. That's our state religion. And we love our God so much, and instead of making money, we just print more. You ever wonder who that trillions of dollars of debt is? It's you. They owe you that money. Oh, we're going to send relief to Iran, $5 billion. They got all that oil money over there, we're sending $5 billion? No, they're sending your money over there. Oh, we're going to raise some taxes. They're going to tax you and get more of your money. And here's the funny part. This is the real good part. Oh, well, we're getting this stimulus check. They're giving you your money. Ain't going to charge you for it. Any of you done your taxes and notice they already asked, did you get it or not? Next year they'll say, by the way, since you got all that free money last year, then they're going to tax you on your money that they already gave you. There's no end to the madness. You get in the tribulation. If you think things are bad now, guess what they get like then? You got 144,000 sealed servants having to run alongside people and preach to them. Hadn't got time to go to the temple, go to the church, or any of that stuff like that. You got to go where the fish are, man. They're going to be running to the places to hide. Number three sight we see, if you're looking down at verse number 23 down there, verse 23, he says, then if any man say unto you, lo, here's Christ, or there, believe it not. And then he goes along saying, verse 24, for there shall arise false Christ and false prophets and show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Now, here's a good one for you. They shall deceive who? That's Israel. They had a Calvinist in the whole crowd. That's Israel. But he does call that Jew out as very elect.
Why?
Because from way back yonder, they were the apple of his eye, and they still are.
Right.
He sends a, listen, as one last ditch effort to see them get saved, he seals 144,000 servants to go out and try to win them again.
Right.
He sent them prophets. They cut them in half. They killed them, put them in a log, saw the log asunder, the whole nine yards. And now here at the very last of the tribulation over there, Jesus is telling those Jews, he's not done with you yet. But there's going to be people there. There's going to be people there that are full of religion. And listen, they shall deceive the very elect, these signs and wonders people. And it says they're going to do, if it were possible, he said, they shall deceive the very elect. See, these are full of religion. And according to Matthew chapter 13, verse 25, while men slept, the enemy planted tares among the wheat.
Right.
Guess what? When the saved of earth are gathered and taken out here in one call, that'll leave behind a tear full of church. What are they going to do? Immediately persecute that Jew. And some of them will come to him and they're going to tell him, now Christ is over here. He wants you to come to him. What's waiting around there? A firing squad. Beheadings in Jerusalem. The guillotine is brought back. And listen, I find it hard to understand why liberals want the jails empty until one of them murders their kids. Then they're for the death penalty. Oh, we're gonna do away with that. We're going to open the prison. We're going to forgive you guys. We're going to give you the COVID vaccine. They'll turn on them politicians just like that. There's not enough give in the world going to change a man's heart, but there's one give that will, and that's Christ. And these false Christs that show great signs and wonders. I remember driving down Old Racetrack Road one time, said the big preacher's going to be here this week under this tent with signs and wonders. Not one dead person was raised. Not one sick person was healed. But a bunch of phonies walked in there just like they used to do at Spartanburg on Saturday night, like them wrestlers did, and fall down and they wasn't even hit. What we see nowadays with that signs and wonders crowd is a bunch of fluff and no stuff. They claim they got the Holy Ghost, they'd be scared to death if he really showed up. I've heard them say, when he gets a hold to you, let me tell you something. When he gets a hold to you, you'll get a hold to this book. When you get a hold of this book, you'll get a hold to him and he'll get a hold to you. When God begins to move on people, they may not wiggle and raggle in the floor, but boy God, he'll stir them hearts and stir them tears over it. When you get down to pray and you're praying with him and you know he's praying right and you're just hitting whatever you can hit at, listen, the tears will flow from your eyes and you realize, hey, God is listening and he's listening for what he wants to hear, and that's the will and the truth of God. We may miss the mark, he hits the mark. That's why Romans 8 says he prays with us. And I noticed this, and we look at this thing very carefully. He said in verse 25, behold, I've told you before. I've told you before, and he's told us after that. And they keep telling us, he said, verse 26, wherefore if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. What are these things doing? These sinners during the tribulation, and that's what we got the sights of, the saints, the storm, and they got the sinners. They're full of religion, and they're full of deception. Conveniently, just like they are now. You want this wonderful pen? It cost me 25 cents. I'll sell it to you for a blessing and a love offering for $20. How about this? How about I call where you got that pen from and have them make me one just like it? And I'd have 50 for your price of one. Love offering only, of course.
You ever wonder why that crowd does all that? They're bankrupt, buddy. They're bankrupt. They're bankrupt on God. They're bankrupt on their tithes.
They don't ever preach on it. They're scared to death through their crowd would leave. And if their crowd left, you couldn't turn on TV and see the big crowd. And if you couldn't see the big crowd, they'd be scared to death. You know, this funny thing, after you get a crowd together, you can get a mixed multitude in there. It's going to look like this. They'll pan the cameras. Listen, they used to have a TV program Sunday afternoon. When I couldn't sleep, I'd turn it on. I'd go to sleep with the congregation. They'd pan across that crowd. And the reverend was waxing eloquent. And he was exhorting. Would to God they'd all start snoring at the same time. I notice as we look at the sinners during that time, the saints during that time, I see they're full of religion and full of deception. But there's something else in verse 27. Watch what happens. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even into the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. What's happening? Well, we see the last side of the tribulation, the very last side of it. You know what it is? The Savior comes. We see the Savior during the tribulation. They've told God they don't want him. He backed off and said, fine. Oh, and I'm taking my church. And he's up there in heaven, and we're up in heaven with the Bema Seat judgment of Christ. He's judging the believers on what they did down here. Not if they're saved. That's why they're there, is because they're saved. He then judges their works according to that and judges what they've done, what then so forth. And then we got the marriage supper of the Lamb. And then all of a sudden the Son of God gets ready and he gets on his white horse. We get on ours. He comes back. Here's how quick it is. They don't even realize what happened until they see him. They're going to, according to the Bible, they're going to surround the Jew over there. They're going to have them pinned in. They're going to be ready to go to what they think is probably their death. It's the last of the Jews there. What are they going to do? You know what this book says? Look up. And all those Jews are going to look up. They're going to see a sight because they're going to holler out for God. God help us. All of a sudden, there he is. He's coming in, he said, as quick as lightning. If you could measure lightning from the time you see it, the time it hits, boy, that thing's quick, ain't it? Listen, he's going to be there that fast. You call on the police today, and they're fast as they can be. It takes them, where I live at, 45 seconds to get there from where they're at, with lights on, pedal to the metal. 45 seconds. To get down here is going to take almost a minute and about 50 seconds if the guy's close by. You know what can happen in a minute and 50 seconds? You don't have it in 45 seconds. You're going to have to fend off somebody for 45 seconds. If you're having to do it physically, that's going to seem like an eternity. Yeah. But they're going to have to do something. Lord, help us. No waiting. However quick lightning is, that's how quick the prayer is answered. There he comes. And when he comes in, they said, man, look at that army he's got. He's going to tell them, y'all stay back. He's going to ride in on a horse that's white. Because the Antichrist shows up on a horse that's white with an arrow, with a bow with no arrows. He has no ammunition. The four horsemen of the apocalypse have ridden through and so forth. Then here comes the rider on the white horse. Here he comes with a vesture dipped in blood. Here he comes in with a saying on his side that says, the word of God. And we see him show up, and then all the thing changes. Why? He takes out all the great armies of the world like that. With the very thing they thought they'd gotten rid of, the words of his mouth. Oh, we burned all them Bibles. We put all them prisoners. We put all them people. We put them in jail that believed that. We cut their heads off. It's done. Do you realize until he's done, it's not done? And when he shows up and wipes them armies off the face of the world, he sets up Jerusalem as his home territory, his base, sits on the throne of David there, because that ain't happened yet either. And the greatest part about it is when he comes and sits on that throne, he controls the entire world. Here's the good part. They have to follow him now. You know why? He's going to lead with a rod of iron. Right. This is all during the tribulation time. Half of you worried about whether it's going to happen in a minute. Listen, you need to wake up and realize that God Almighty is wanting you to be saved before all this happens. Because here's the scary part. If you look over 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, you and I that are born again by the grace of God, we're S-A-V-E-D saved. We look on 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and we say to ourselves, thank God we're saved. Because all the people that's lost, I want to show you this. He mentions the second coming and the rapture of the church all in one verse, and that's in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, nor be troubled. It says, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand, not past, is at hand. He said, let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. Let's stop on that comma. We're right there. We're seeing people abandon God, abandon God's house, abandon God's word, all for trying to steal the honor and glory away from God. As soon as somebody tells you, I'm not bragging on me, whatever they say, past that, they're bragging on themselves. Listen, humility don't have pride. There's no ounce of pride in humility. He said, here comes a falling away first. When does that happen? When we let preachers get on TV and lie like a rug and tell people that, listen, God wants you sold to this church, that way you get a tenfold blessing. Never happens. They may pay an actor to come up on stage and say it, but it don't happen like that. I'll tell you what does happen. Me and Brother Kirsch had a teacher one time. He said something to us, and we both didn't believe it the first time we heard it. But the more we looked at the Bible, the more we saw what the Bible said, it works just like this. God will bless tithing from a lost man's hand. He can't break his word. How about that? You tithe, God blesses it. Lost or saved. Isn't that something? We try to put all them blessings on saved people. The blessings is here. We honor this book, God honors us. Listen, we prayed for years and prayed that Donald Trump would get saved. We prayed for Obama to get saved and Clinton to get saved and George W. to get saved. But everything they did toward Israel that was good, God honored it. Remember, y'all prayed they was lost men. And we prayed that God would honor that. They did things towards Israel, but when we did things against Israel, Katrina happens over here. Same day. God honors his word. You honor the Jew, he honors you. You don't, he takes away them blessings. But get more specifically, out of the president's hand, back to the church house, you tithe, God blesses it. I know that's crazy, but it works. But here's the funny part. You can tithe all your life, get blessed of God, and die without Christ, you go to hell. Because right past that comma, it says this, except to come a falling away first, and that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Right after the rapture of the church, this guy's coming on the scene. He says, who opposeth and exalt himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple and showing himself that he is God. He says, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. Why is it no worse than it is? Because the Holy Spirit's still here holding something back. He says, for the mystery of iniquity, it doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. That's the Holy Ghost. You go to a place where there's a lot of churches, you don't see a lot of sinful practices going on. There's some there, but not like there could be, say, in a place where there aren't a lot of churches, like Chicago, Illinois. They're having to put the police at gas stations. Why? Because when people pull up to get gas, they're beating them half to death, taking their money and taking their car. And they can't seem to find these people. My God, is all the cameras up at these places, you can't find none of them? Oh, I forgot. There's a reason why you can't find them ain't there. Oh, where's it at? I brought it for this thing. They're all wearing a mask. They're criminals. Look here. Facial recognition software can't work on this. You ain't got my face. Let them put a gun on somebody, give me your money, give me your car. And then other thugs come out of the wind and beat that guy half to death. We don't know who they are. That's happening in Chicago every day, almost every hour out of 24. Gaffney City, thank you. You put in a thing about us wearing masks. We got to wear a mask everywhere we go. Now you want to hear the funny part? Go to Gaffney's Police's Facebook page. They can't identify them. They don't know who they are. They can't catch them. Went out there to Yellow Mall, stole thousands of dollars. Wearing this. Does anybody know who this is? Of course they don't. They're wearing a mask. Yep. Oh, you wear yours, it protects you from me and me from you and all this other stuff. Well, I don't believe science. Because science, in the scope I'm speaking of, is science falsely so-called. Yep. It took years to develop a polio vaccine. Have you read about this yet? Years. They're going to give us one in 3 months, 6 months, whatever it was. Oh, we got the things worked out. Sure you do. So that curious, Matt? No, you still got to wear this. There's something to this little thing, ain't there? Let all the criminals go free. Why? We can't catch them, no way. They're just doing what they're doing to survive. No, they're not. They're thieves, criminals, and thugs. You need to put them in jail where they belong. My Uncle Don, my late Uncle Don, he is bad about saying stuff that was unpolitically correct. You know what he said? He said, if they put all them birds in that electric chair and throw that switch on national TV and let them see what they get when they come to that, they'd quit all that. And if they'd keep that thing hot and move that body out and get another one in there, he said, they'd quit all that. Crime rate has drastically went up since we quit doing that. Oh, you've got a DUI? Well, just pay this money and you walk out the door. Oh, this is your second? Pay this money and go out the door. Oh, it's your third? Pay this money and go out the door. How come that guy gets to do it and you get shot down on one time? Oh, so his parents aren't how many millions of dollars they got up in the bank. Yep. Until our judges quit taking bribes and letting people go with their liberal agenda, and these cops get mad as all. No wonder they want to beat people. That judge done let out a guy that's raped five women and killed two people, and they let him back out on the street. No wonder them guys get mad. I just advise the cops, like in my day, back when I was in trouble, just get some hose pipes and cut them up. And when you see that guy out, do like you used to do us. Take us outside, whoop us, trigger the hose pipe. It don't even leave marks. That's my opinion, not the Bible. But things are getting bad and all this. And saved people are saying, where are they preaching on prophecy at? So I'll know what to do. So I'll know when I see them signs coming, I'll get saved. I had a man tell me that one time. He said, the reason I study Revelation, I'm going to see if this is happening. I'll know the rapture's passed, and then I'll get saved. Let's look at that. Verse 8, and when that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, shall destroy him with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Now you know how they do all that stuff. He says in verse 10, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them, that perish because they received not the love of the truth that they might be, what's that last word again? Saved. They missed the rapture. It says unrighteousness in them that perish. They're lost. Then verse 11, because of that, and for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. That lie is a person. It's Antichrist. You monkey around with religion and you get full of religion and deception like we talked about the saints will be during the time of the tribulation or the sinners during the tribulation. The saints of God will get raptured out of here. The 144,000 will preach, but it won't matter to a person sitting in this building that's lost because you've heard the gospel. You've heard it time and time and time and time and time again. You won't give to missions because, well, if God wants to save that person, God will send somebody over there. God will save himself. No, if God wants to save you, send you over there. And listen, they'll say all this stuff. The rapture happens. They're still sitting here saying, when's the next committee meeting? Or is the modern outfits, what team are you on? Whether you call it the team and it acts like a committee or you call it the committee and it acts like a committee, they're the same thing. Right. They take down minutes and waste hours. And when we look at what happens to them, everyone that's lost in church, that's lost in religion and lost by deception of their own heart, God takes his church out of here and sends them strong delusion. So how many people get saved in the tribulation? A countless multitude in the book of Revelation. But this minority here that was sitting in church saying, this is my church, we're going to run it the way I want to run it. I can't promise you I'll be there Sunday. You say, well, you know, I can't promise nothing. You're going to get a good old strong delusion. You believe the lies of truth. The Antichrist is going to come on the scene and say, that's the man we've been looking for the whole time. He's promised us love and money and happiness, and he took away our COVID mask. He cured that too. Never thought that'd be in a message, would you, word work like that? But I believe that'll happen. They're trying to silence you now, and that's just a symbol of silencing you. Listen, he'll come along and say, take off that mask. I want you to have a mark. Oh, you got to have this on to walk in a place and do business? Sounds like he's going to take this away and put a little tattoo right there where everybody can see it. A nice little 666. You're going to look at it and think, that's the sign of the Trinity. That's how deceived you'll be and what a strong delusion you'll have. So what will keep me out of it? Jesus Christ and him alone. Faith in man will get you nowhere. Faith in a system will get you nowhere. Faith in religion will get you nowhere. But as the Holy Ghost draws you to Christ, he'll take you everywhere he goes. When you realize that Jesus Christ died for your sins, he bled for your sins, he gave himself that you might have life and have it more abundantly, when you get a hold of all that, you receive him as your Savior. Because John 1:12 says this, all that received him, he gave power to become the sons of God. Not a decision to be religious, not a decision for a relationship, but power to have that relationship with that Redeemer. Right. That's what God will do. And it comes through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Somebody asked me the other week, said, why do you harp against them other Bibles? Because they take out Jesus Christ, they take out the word blood. Just look it up for yourself. So what are they doing? Taking away from the Word of God. They're changing the Word of God. Therefore, they're changing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, we want a relationship. You can't have a relationship without that blood.
Right.
You can't get saved without the power of the Holy Ghost coming on you and converting you. It's all up to him. Right. As God is my witness today, listen, the greatest day of my life ever was April 7th, 1994. That's the day God saved me. There wasn't no decision made that day. The decision had been made 2,000 years ago that all without him perish. I agreed with the decision. I received him as my Savior because what I realized is there had to be a sacrifice according to God's law, and I didn't even know what the law was. I just knew I was guilty. You ever go to court and think, well, I ain't done nothing? Yeah, you have. Every time you're sitting there you got the defendant over here, they got you there for reasons, usually evidence. And the only way you get in with the thing and get it right is to admit you've done it. I admitted to Jesus Christ I'd sinned against him and him personally. And the greatest part of it was he said, I forgive you and save me on the spot. Listen, sealed me in the Holy Ghost forever right there. And listen, all the guilt and second. Thank God for salvation is free to sinners who come to him. Has God dealt with your heart about this? As we read this, as he said, that's where you're going. That's your God, Satan. That's your God right there. He's the God of this world and your God. You've been waiting on signs and wonders. There he is right there. And there you are following him. The only way out of it is Jesus Christ. Well, I'll wait till I see that. Again, that strong delusion to keep you from seeing it. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed.